morning. I'm thankful for every one of you here today as we gather together to encourage one another, but also to worship and praise our God and to grow in our faith and in our fellowship. I love the church. The church, whether we're talking about this congregation or just the church in general, is something that is extremely meaningful in my life and really throughout my entire life. I was raised going to church from the youngest ages of my life. My parents brought me to church and I sat on a pew and I learned the most valuable lessons in life, and I built relationships with people who have been godly influences in my life. And the reality is, the church has been among the greatest blessings of my life here on this earth. And it's something I'm very thankful for, and it's something that I hope and I pray, and it's one of my main goals as a minister of the gospel, that other people will have a similar type of relationship with the church. I hope that it's something that brings you joy and brings you encouragement. We just had a Bible study in our Bible class period where we were talking about the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, you have a discouraged people and a doubting people and a people struggling with their faith and possibly tempted to fall away from it. And the author of Hebrews is encouraging them in many ways to stay faithful. But one of the things he says repeatedly is to gather with one another, to encourage one another, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. He says, encourage one another while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Like, throughout the book of Hebrews, the way to combat unfaithfulness is with congregational encouragement. And I think I've received that throughout my life. I really do. I think I've received healthy teaching from the church. I haven't agreed with everything I've ever heard in any church. That's an unrealistic goal. We're Christians and we all think and we all have our Bibles, and sometimes we'll see things a little differently. But the reality is, I think I've been grounded and I have very positive memories of the church. And I bet there's a good number of you in here who would speak similarly about the church. However, I also know that while I have had very positive memories and influences from the church, that's not universally the case. As a matter of fact, I bet if you were to take a survey of everyone in here, you'd probably get some pretty negative stories too. In fact, I think if you were to get on social media, if you were to talk to many people, if you get on Reddit, you'll find very quickly that there are a lot of people who have very negative experiences with church. Harmful experiences with church, and they don't trust the church, and they don't like the church, and I think that's one of the most tragic things that there is. I think human beings have a tendency, even Christians can fall into this, to take things that are good and that are created for good and to turn them into things that are painful or bad or even evil. You can go through the Bible and you can see this very thing done. You can see, in the church at Corinth, there are Christians there who were given gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to edify and build up and strengthen the church. And you know what they did with those gifts? They started comparing and competing. Well, my gift is better than your gift. No, my gift's better. Hey, I speak in tongues. I'm the best. And all of a sudden, they took this wonderful gift of God and they turned it into a reason for division and fighting with one another. We have a tendency to do that type of thing, even with wonderful gifts. Think about the Lord's Supper and baptism, and think about how beautiful and wonderful those are, and yet how those are so often a source of controversy and division. We have a tendency to take good things and to make them awful, and I think that's happened. That's even happened in the church. One of the greatest things that God has given us is something that has, at times, caused tremendous amount of pain and difficulty. There are books that are written. I have a friend who wrote a book, When Church Hurts. His name is Troy Rogers. You should read the book sometime. But he talks about this very idea. There's a book that came out recently. It's called A Church Called Tov. And Tov would be the Hebrew word for good. And it's basically a book kind of trying to help develop a healthy culture in churches, a goodness culture in churches. But this is something that I think needs to be addressed from time to time to make sure that the church is not only something that God created, but it's something that we continue in for the purpose of and celebration of good. And that we recognize that there's goodness in the church and that we promote goodness in the church. We're doing a series of lessons right now, and we're talking about trust. And we've talked about how no matter how much you love someone, biblically, there are a lot of warnings about trust. And really, the only object of absolute, unmitigated trust is God. God is the only one who we should trust absolutely. Every other person is a sinful person. Everything that we own, whether it's wealth, we're told not to put our trust there. We're told not to put our trust in military. We're told not to put our trust in princes. We're told not to put our trust even in our own understanding, but to put our trust in God. And I think it's helpful to know, even when we talk about the church, should you trust the church? Can you trust the church? I would say, I really hope so. I hope the church is a place that you can trust. I hope the church is filled with people that you trust. I hope that the teaching you get at this church is trustworthy. But at the same time, I would say it should always be a trust that is measured with wisdom. It should always be a trust that is measured with the Word of God. It should always be a trust that is subservient to our ultimate trust in God Himself. Because no church is perfect, and anytime you place absolute and blind trust in anything, you could be setting yourself up for problems. A couple years ago, I went on a beautiful hike. It was actually with Brent and Noah Farmer, who are here. And this is up near the top of Mount Camerer. And if you look at this picture, it is a beautiful day. You can see the green leaves. You can see blue sky. You know, it was a wonderful hike. Beautiful, beautiful place. Also a couple years ago, I went on a different hike. Or sorry, not a different hike. I ruined my story. Anyway, also a couple years ago, I went on a hike. And this is what it looked like. Snowy and no blue skies in sight, no green leaves around. If you look at the timestamp on these two photos that I just took, they are about 1 hour apart on the exact same hike on the exact same day. It was one hike in one day, and yet you experienced drastically different environments on it. The reason I say that is because I think anytime you're dealing with things in this life, they can turn quickly. Anytime you're dealing with things in this life, that you can have some aspects of it that are blue skies and green grass, and you can have some that are gray skies and snow. And when it comes to a hike like this, I thought it was actually awesome. I thought it was beautiful to be able to experience both of those things. But when it comes to life, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to churches, we don't always want that kind of radical transformation so quickly. And I would say anytime you're dealing with something that is human, in one sense, you can expect there to be blue skies and you can expect there to be storms. You can expect there to be good, you can expect there to be bad. You can expect there to be wonderful blessings and you can expect there to be pain and curses. And I think the church doesn't escape that. We are part of an imperfect church. It is absolutely in the mind of God, and it is something God established, and it is something that Jesus rules, but it's also something that is made up of humans. And as long as that's the case, you should have a careful or a wise amount of trust in the church. Even the teaching you receive, I hope that the teaching that I offer is biblical and grounded and true. But don't just accept it blindly. You have a responsibility to God to make sure that what you're doing is something that honors Him and something that is true. The church is human. And what that means is the church is sinful. Every single church you can find, you will find sin in it. You will find varying amounts of error in it. You will find varying amounts of hypocrisy in it. You will find people who are doing things they should not be doing, and yet they still go to church there. That's going to be true of the church. The church needs to repent. By the way, that's actually a central idea of what it means to be a Christian, is an openness and a recognition of our need for repentance. So the church isn't perfect. The church is in a constant state of growth, of struggle, and of a need for repentance. The church needs forgiveness. When I think of the Lord's Prayer, as it's commonly called in Matthew chapter 6, I think it's such an important aspect of that prayer that we need to carry with us throughout our lives. When Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The traditional ending of it. But notice right there, baked into the middle of it, is not only your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but also, and forgive us of our trespasses. Like, you have the idea that's like, God's will is supreme and should be done on earth, should be done among his people as it is in heaven. Where God's will is done in heaven, ultimately and supremely and fully, we should be living that way on earth. But at the same time, we recognize the frailty and the sinfulness of humanity that we often won't. And so forgiveness is an essential part of the life of a Christian. It's an essential part of the life of the church. The church needs Jesus. And I'll say that's actually the only hope of the church. That is the only way that we can ever be what God has called us to be. Yet I do believe, and this is going to be on a more positive note, that absolutely we will be what Jesus called us to be. And we will be what Jesus came for. Because those are the promises that you read about in Scripture also. This is from Ephesians chapter 5. And notice the beautiful description. By the way, if you want to read beautiful descriptions of the church, read Ephesians. Ephesians all the way through it has one of the highest visions of the church that you can read anywhere in Scripture, and it's beautifully worded. But here he talks about this. It's actually in comparison to the way husbands ought to love their wives, but he says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of water by the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, so that she might be holy and without blemish. I've just said the church has blemishes. I've just said the church lacks holiness in some ways, and the church has spot and stain. Their sin is part of the church. But ultimately, Christ is sanctifying and washing and will present the church as perfect and blameless, fully forgiven, fully cleansed, fully sanctified in the day that we all long for. And so there's hope, but the hope is in the church. Even though in that time there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be frustration, there's going to be hardships along the way, the church is not perfect yet. It will be a perfected church, but it's not because of our ability to be perfect. It's because of what Christ has done and will do for us. So what can we do? If we want to be a place where people feel confident coming and learning the Word of God, if we want to be a place where people trust us enough to bring their children here, if we want to be a place where people trust us enough to help be the community wherein their soul should flourish and where God is honored, what are the things that we can do to become a trustworthy church? Not a blind trust, but a trust with wisdom, a trust in comparison under the norm of the Word of God. But what can we do to be a trustworthy church? Well, I'll give you a couple things that I think we should do. A lot of these are the most simple things in the world. One of them, and I would say this whole first page right here that I'm going to show you, is just remember who we are and remember what we're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. We should be a people who share and proclaim a shared faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, we should be a people where God is honored and worshiped, and we proclaim our allegiance and faith in him regularly with one another through the songs that we sing, through the prayers that we offer, through the teaching that is given here. We should be a place where God is honored. That's essential to what a church is. If you have a collection of people and this isn't being done, that collection is not the church. The church is a place of a proclamation of shared faith in the triune God. The church is a place where we faithfully teach the Word of God. The Word of God should be taught. The Word of God should be taught faithfully and with love and with a desire for obedience and repentance along the way as we are corrected and molded by it. But the Word of God is central to the mission of the church. It should be a place where baptism and the Lord's Supper are practiced. If you have a group of people, even if they are a group of people who study the Bible together, but they're not practicing baptism and the Lord's Supper, I think that you can call them maybe a group of Christians. And there's a sense in which like the people are the church. So people say, oh, it's not the building. And that's right. The church is not the building. Although I'll say the English word church does mean building, so maybe we need to come up with a better translation, because the Greek word ekklesia does not mean building. But we are the people, but we're not just like on our own, myself, out on a Tuesday, you know, eating chicken, the church. Like, the church is a collection, it's a gathering of people. The church is when we come together for the purpose of honoring and glorifying Christ. And so in that sense, the church must practice the things that Christ has given us. And essential to that are practices like we just did earlier with the Lord's Supper and baptism. The church should be a house of prayer. The church should be a community of praise where God is worshiped and glorified. The church should share generously with one another and with those on the outside. The church should bring the gospel to the lost. I think if you want to be a trustworthy church, people should find these types of things among you. The church should be a place where we love our neighbors as ourselves. When Jesus is asked the greatest commands that there are, he summarizes all commands by saying two, that you love God with everything you are, with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. That is, every bit of you is given in devotion and love to God. And the second like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we get love of God and love of man right, then everything else will like fall into place. And so what we see right here is, I think if we're going to be the church that Christ has called us to be, if we're going to be a trustworthy church, we need to remember we are the church. And this is the type of stuff the church does. This is what the church is about. But along the way, there are also other aspects of what it means to be a trustworthy community of believers that I think are really, really important. Things that we should be practicing and taking very seriously also. There are some times where it looks like you're doing all of those things. We did the Lord's Supper, we did baptism, we preached from the Bible, we did all these things. And yet, underneath the surface, there can be problematic and even sinful things growing, and I think we need to be very careful about those types of things to weed them out also if we're going to be a trustworthy church. If you're going to be a trustworthy church, that opens up the door to so, you know how hard it is to confess sin and to admit struggle in a place that you don't trust, among people that you don't trust? You know how hard it is to regularly commit yourself to the spiritual flourishing and well-being of a group of people that you don't trust? Like, if we are ever going to be a congregation that is healthy and vibrant, where there's an open community of confession and of love for one another, I mean, trust is essential to that. A lack of trust stifles repentance. A lack of trust stifles confession. A lack of trust stifles worship. It stifles relationships. It certainly stifles unity. And so how do we be a people who are trustworthy as a body of believers? One thing I would suggest, so we have humble leaders. I think one of the biggest problems that you can run into when it comes to church culture is where you have the leaders of a church who have the idea that they are greater than the rest of the church. And I can honestly say, I love the eldership that we have in this church, and I do believe we have honest and sincere and humble, faithful, loving elders, and I am privileged to serve under them and to be able to meet with them regularly, to pray with them, and I love the leadership we have here, but that is an absolutely crucial part of being a trustworthy church. I do think you have some churches who try to have their growth through not necessarily through humility, but through popularity. And I would say sometimes those are often at odds with one another. Being the most popular, you can take a lot of twists and turns to get there that sometimes betray trust. And I think humility and love are absolutely far greater for church growth than just popularity or being someone who everyone likes or being someone who everyone looks up to. Humility and humility and just honesty. Like, being someone who, when you're truly struggling, you know that this person will listen and will care. I think that's invaluable. In fact, I think a trustworthy church does listen, and they listen widely. They don't just listen to the other leaders, but they listen to the whole church family. They listen to the young. They listen to the old. They listen to the male. They listen to the females. They listen to those who are more like them and those who have different personalities and perspectives. You listen to those who are educated and those who haven't been highly educated. You listen to those who might have more money and less money. And you don't tune your ear to whoever the world would say is the most influential. But in the church, a trustworthy church, your ears are open to all because they're not open based on power and prestige. They're open based on love. Trustworthy church listens well. We have so many people at this congregation, and we have so many people who have served God faithfully, and who, even if there's not an official title by your name or something like that, you have wonderful insight to the health of this congregation. And I think a faithful church listens well. A faithful church is open to questions, to doubts, to disagreements and discussions. One of the biggest criticisms that the church often gets, or that churches often get, is that you have to toe the line, and any deviation, any question is immediately condemned, or you're not allowed to think critically, or you're not allowed. And I think if there's ever a place where you, as a follower of God, should feel comfortable bringing your doubts and questions and concerns, it should be the people of God. Like, we should have a culture where if you have questions, you can ask them. If you're struggling with something, you can bring it forth. If you disagree with something, we'd love to have a conversation about it. It's like the church should be an open environment to honest and faithful inquiry. Now, that's not exactly the same thing as saying being open to division. You know, being open to, I don't think the church has to let every person preach, preach any message they want to if they disagree. I think you can guard your teaching and guard your doctrine, but at the same time, people are going to have questions. People are going to have doubts. There are going to be disagreements. We should be able to faithfully love each other, have an open and honest dialogue even in and through those. I think we should fight for justice and care for the oppressed. If the church is, if you are being oppressed or mistreated or taken advantage of, the church should be a safe haven for you. The church should be a place where you can go and you can be heard and you can be cared for and loved and protected. I think the church should take very seriously the mission and the goal of protecting one another and of caring for one another and of helping one another. The church should practice church discipline. And I know this one might sound somewhat contrary in thought, but a church that doesn't take sin seriously is not a trustworthy church. A church where you can sin at will with no consequences, no severing of fellowship, no discipline in sight, that is not a healthy church. A church that is committed to the teachings of Jesus Christ and to holiness will protect that. And where there is sin that is creeping in, or where there are people who are harming others, when there is division that is tearing people apart, the church, I think, has a responsibility to fight against that and to take it very seriously and to, even when need be, withdraw fellowship from certain people who are harming the church. That's actually a sign of a church that you can trust. The church should be honest and transparent. I think the church, if it's going to be trustworthy, should be a place where you hear the truth, you are able to speak to the leaders, and it's a place where honesty reigns supreme. And having said all of that, I think every single church, this one included, has room for improvement. This is not a critique or like a rebuke of this congregation, but it is a way to say, like, I think every church should strive to improve in these things. But I'll also say there's a reason that I am very thankful and I pray to God every night thanking God for this congregation and that my children are growing up here. And it's because I do think that you can find not sinless perfection, but I do think you can find a lot of these things here. I think you can find a place where people take very seriously the word of God and strive with humility and honestly to live it out. And that's something that means a whole lot to me. And so I would never say give your absolute and blind trust to the church, But I do hope that we as a congregation will all work on these things. And by the way, these things right here are not just for the elders and the preachers and the teachers. Every one of us can take these things seriously by applying them to our own lives. What I mean by that is, so many criticisms about the church are, oh, it's full of hypocrites. Well, okay, sure. I mean, the church is sinful. There's going to be hypocrites there. There's also hypocrites outside the church. I think you could say just like hypocrites exist. You'll find them just about anywhere. I saw before someone saying that I'm not going to go to the church because of hypocrites is like saying I'm not going to go to the gym because there's unhealthy people there. It's like, I think when you understand what the church is, it's not, the claim isn't that we're perfect and that this is the place where you find all the sinless people. As a matter of fact, a lot of times people come to church because they recognize their own sinfulness and they know that they need to improve. You're going to find sinful people here. That's absolutely the case. But the goal is that we work together and strive together as a community of God's people to glorify Him. And in so doing, we grow closer to Him and we grow closer to one another. And people can see His goodness in and through us, even with the failures that come as a part of that. The real church is a place where there is absolutely imperfection, but it's also a place where the glory of God can be found. The passage that Oliver read for us earlier says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Think about the power of those words right there. Where are we supposed to find the glory of God throughout all generations forever and ever? In Jesus Christ, who is sinless, but also in His church, which is not sinless. But Jesus has plans for that church. He will sanctify her. He will cleanse her. He will present her before Himself without spot or blemish and completely holy, forgiven, and purified in that day. So remain part of the community of God. Remain part of the collection of God's people and strive to become part of the solution. Try to end our sermons with a challenge. Here's the challenge for this one. If you see imperfection in the church, that just means you're not blind. But at the same time, be part of the solution. Don't fold your arms, look at the other people and say, oh man, they all need to get better. Actually look at yourself and ask, what ways can I get better? What ways can I be more faithful to this mission? Am I living as part of the church the way that I'm called to and the way that I should be? Because I said every church can improve in these areas, this one included. Every person can improve in these areas, this one included. And everyone who's sitting here, we have none of us yet been perfected. And yet all of us have our hope in the ultimate glory of Christ to bring us to that glorified state. And so let's live now with humility, with honesty, with love for one another as we strive together as a community and as a body of Christ to glorify Him, to be the congregation and the community of believers where people can find the Word of God, where people can place trust, and where people can find the worship of Jesus and the triune God, where people can find the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and where people can find hope. If there's anyone here this morning who'd like the prayers or the help of the church or to become a Christian, we pray that you would let that be known. You can talk to one of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.